Our Work. 1904. The church is Christ's fortress in a revolted world, and it must be strictly guarded against the enemy's wily arts. In it, no laws are to be acknowledged but the laws of God. Those whom God has set as watchmen are not to look on quietly while efforts are being made to lead men and women away from the truth into false paths. Careful watch is to be kept against seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. God calls upon ministers and medical missionaries to take a firm stand for the right. The severe denunciations that Christ uttered against the Pharisees for teaching for doctrine the commandments of men show the necessity for guarding against all theories that are not in harmony with the truth of God's word. In the church, no human authority is to bear sway. God has not given any man the right to exercise authority over his medical missionary workers or ministers. God's workers have been called and chosen by him. They are not their own, neither are they the property of any other human being. They have been purchased by the Son of the infinite God, and they are to glorify God and God alone. For a man to exercise the authority that some are seeking to exercise, this is a snare of the enemy to lead to a betrayal of sacred trusts. Not by human authority was the church in the wilderness to be governed. Christ was leading his people, and he is the leader of his people today. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. Exodus 19, verse 3-6. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Verses 7-8. After this, precept by precept, amidst scenes of awful grandeur, the law was proclaimed from Sinai. This law is the expression of God's goodness and mercy. After the law had been spoken by the Lord, Moses was told to explain it more fully to the people, that they might have no excuse for disobeying its precepts. The assurance was given, Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Exodus 23, verse 20-25. God's people today are to examine their lives carefully to see whether they are disregarding the laws of his kingdom. They are to question themselves critically to see whether their business transactions are in harmony with God's methods. God has taken great pains to reveal his will to us. His will is ever to be our will. But many have neglected self-examination. The voice of conscience, once heeded, is now scarcely heard. Continual transgression has hardened the heart and robbed the life of the happiness that comes through obedience. The affections are under the power of evil, and no satisfaction is found in looking over the record of memory. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, Christ declared. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20.
Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15, verse 13. The Son of God has control over the church in this world. He has entrusted it to the care of his servants. It is a sacred work, the guardianship of the church, the garden redeemed from the wilderness of sin by the divine husbandman. This garden is to be filled with the plants of righteousness. There are professing Christians who bring forth no fruit but that which is unto death. True Christians bring forth fruit to God's glory. The difference between them and worldlings may be plainly seen. When God sees that there are those in the church who are bringing in dangerous sentiments, the warning comes, beware. Plants are being brought in which are not of God's choosing, but which will bear poisonous fruit. A change of mind and heart is necessary for the enrollment in Christ's army. Except a man be born again, the Savior declared, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. John 3, verse 3. He commanded his disciples to go through the world with a message calling for repentance and proclaiming the remission of sins in his name. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. Was the message that rang through Judea just before the first coming of Christ, and this is the message that is to be given today, just before his second coming. A peculiar people, zealous of good works, is to unite in proclaiming the last message of mercy to the world. It pains me to see how little burden our churches carry for souls unsaved. Our people must arouse. Let every soul seek earnestly to be a partaker of the grace of Christ, that there may be no intrusion of self. To those who come to him hungering and thirsting for righteousness, consecrating their lives to him, he says, I dedicate you to my service, to do my will. We have not 100th part of the working force that we should have. Many, many more should consecrate themselves to the accomplishment of the great work that Christ has placed in our hands. Not all are to do the same work, but all are to work under the guidance of the divine Spirit. Christ died to save sinners. He gave his life for the life of the world. We are to cooperate with him in carrying out the plan of salvation. It is to be our highest endeavor to live as Christ lived and work as Christ worked.